All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome back to the In the Dome
podcast.
You know, as I changed up a little bit.
Yeah, it's like a nighttime edition In the Dome nights.
Yeah, it's well into the evening, so this may be a little more chill. Can we be chill? Is it possible?
Yeah, I'm tired, so I won't be nearly as riled up until about 5 minutes into this when I'm like ranting about some stupid shit.
All I gotta do is I mention Eric Francis's name. It's like Beetlejuice, hey? Just mention his name and Michael just starts salivating. He's still wearing that mask, eh?
Like, he's so bad.
Oh my god. Why don't they just give Eric a bubble? Like, you know those bubbles? He lives in a bubble. Like, give him a, you know those bubbles you can like walk around. That's what he needs. And not even because of protocols, just because. Like, he needs a bubble to walk around in.
Exactly. He is the protocol. He needs one of those fucking hamster wheel things. Hey, those hamster balls.
Exactly. That's what I mean. That you walk in.
Yeah.
We're just following Eric Francis' pain in everyone's ass protocol, so please get in your bubble, Eric.
You know what the funny thing is? You wouldn't even need any explanation, hey? They'd be like, oh, they put Eric Francis in a bubble. No one's going to be like, I wonder why. No one's going to be like, why is Eric Francis walking around in a bubble? Like, people, do you don't even need to explain
Everyone
that.
Would know. It'd be the most, you wouldn't have, exactly. No explanation necessary.
He lives in a bubble.
He lives in a bubble. He would be like the bubble boy, too. Hey, where's my sandwich? Why don't you make me some peanut butter or I'll shove it in your face?
Oh, man. How about you show us your tits?
Donald.
Come on. Okay. What episode is that? If you're listening to this and you have not watched every episode of Seinfeld, the Bubble Boy's a classic. It's Moops.
It's probably like top five. Oh, man. That is such a good episode. Holy shit. Oh, come man. On.
Come on. So, yeah, if you're looking for something on Netflix and you haven't watched the entire season start to finish, they're like 20. It's like a little bit of 20-minute humor every night. Like, you can't go wrong. Okay, let's get to some Calgary Flames, our other love slash hate relationship. All right, so Flames wrap up the homestand, 2-1-2. We were just talking about this. You brought this up. Everybody's kind of like, yay, we're like top in the division. But if you look at their last few games, I mean, you brought up, if you look at their losses as a whole, including their overtime losses, you only have two extra wins, did you say?
Well, yeah, you're 7-5. You lost five games.
Yeah.
Like, I mean those, three of them have been in overtime, and those points are huge, but you still lost two less games than you won.
And like Daryl said, they're battle back points. So, you know, you earn something, and it speaks to something of how you're playing. So, yeah. I mean, we're 7-2-3. 7-2-3 sounds a hell of a lot better than 7-5, is it not? Yeah.
Totally.
Your winning percentage is 0.708. I mean, that's pretty good. If you're in the 700s, you're making the playoffs, are you not?
Well, yeah. And like, I mean, I'd be less concerned about it if, you know, your goal differential wasn't great and our underlying numbers weren't great. That would make me a little more concerned.
If you weren't dominating every game you lose,
yeah, exactly.
Like literally every game we've lost, we've dominated 5-on-5, every single one.
They've lost every single game almost in the exact same fashion, you know, like other than the Oilers game.
Yeah, well, they just beat you on the power play.
Yeah, and you can't score. You get a shit ton of chances and can't score.
We will be talking about the Oilers again because, well, if you forget what happened after the Rangers game, we'll enlighten you in just a moment. But let's go through some stats here. These are interesting. We posted this before the last game. So after the Rangers game, through 11 games, the Flames at 5-on-5.
They're a good 5-on-5 team.
First in the league, Corsi 4. I mean, the Corsi 4 is what? That was kind of the really welcome and understood analytic team analytic, not?
Yeah, and that's Daryl Sutter's. Kind of like bread and butter is puck possession, having the puck. So his teams have always been like possession monsters. So not really any surprise that the Flames are like top of the league. I think they're still top of the league after those two games. So,
dude, I'm surprised. Like first, like if you were going to say, okay, you're going to be top 10. Yeah. That wouldn't surprise me at
yeah,
all.
Yeah.
To say you're first in the league in Corsi 4, I am a little surprised.
Well, and what's funny is, like, right, like, and I've been hamming it up with people saying, like, but it's true. It's like 8 months ago, these same guys who are, like, now one of the best possession teams and the best 5-on-5 teams in the league, 8 months ago, these guys were uncoachable losers who Scotty Bowman couldn't coach these guys, right? And now they're, like, one of the most dominant, again, 11 games. Or 12 games, but they're probably the most dominant 5-on-5 team in the league right now.
Yeah, I think it was Darren Haynes. Darren Haynes. I don't know if he listens. Maybe some of the media
probably
do.
Not anymore.
We found out a very I don't want to say the hard way, but it was a very interesting way.
Interesting would be a good way to put it.
Not anymore. He was going off. I remember when everyone was like, "Okay, can we just?" Fire Ward, like when people were, because the Ward thing, it went on like 3 months. It went on what? Sure. The first 2 months, it was fine. People were like, okay, yeah, like when are we getting rid of Ward? Then the third month, well, that was like a month too long.
Well, the thing, it was like extended because of the season that gets started in January. And it was like a death sentence, right? Like after that bloody interim tag was taken off in the summer, you had like 6 months of like, hey, this season's going to suck, or the anticipation of a crappy season with a crappy coach. And then all of our nightmares came true and it was terrible. So it was like
worse than we expected.
By the time game one rolled around, we were already ready to get our pitchforks out for this guy, and rightly so, I would say.
Anyways, at that time, I'm not sure if it was when everybody was going off the handles, like, you need to get rid of this guy, or when they had already let him go. But a lot of the media were taking the same stance.
I'm pretty sure like 99.99% of the media took the stance that it's not a coaching problem. You've been through three coaches. How could it be?
How could it be? This core, it's them. They've been through how many coaches? No one, it's never going to change. Scotty Bowman couldn't coach this group. It's the core. They don't care enough. They don't hate to lose. I remember having some bit of an argument with Darren on Twitter, and he's like, you know, he responded like really emphasizing, yeah, you know what? I'm not sure if you're understanding how I mean you hate to lose. You got to really like hate it deep in your core. Like it hurts. It wasn't because Jeff Ward is an amateur. It was because these players. So all Daryl Sutter must have done was just really taught them how to hate to lose, eh? That's
brought him to the farm.
That's what happened.
Read some Bible stories about like
probably
parables and stuff.
Yeah, played some Survivor maybe on the farm and
yeah,
ridiculed the people that lost. So like they really are terrified of losing more than hate to lose.
Sounds like the most likely scenario to me. Not that he's just a really good coach and knows how to get the best out of guys.
First in Corsi for, third in expected goals for. Third in expected goals for, which is kind of a mind-blowing stat because you're sitting here and you're looking at the games that we've lost where they're all one-goal games for the most part. If you would have scored one or two more, we wouldn't have lost.
Yeah, the only game we probably should have lost and we even played really good 5-5 was against the Oilers, right? Because they just plain and simple outscored us.
You'd be 10-1-1, essentially. Yeah. Then you so let's discuss that, because how can you be, break it down for us, how can you be third in expected goals for when there's still a bit of a question mark if this team can score enough goals?
Well, it's just creating chances. The Flames on a nightly basis own the share of quality chances. They're generating way more quality chances than they're giving up.
So at what point do you, if the goals do not translate, at what point does this become a concern that we can't finish?
Well, I think it's already a bit of a concern because this was an issue in the not too distant past. If you'll recall, if you'll come back with me, and I'm sorry to bring you back to this headspace, because this is where I almost stopped being a Flames fan. Almost completely stopped being a Flames fan. It was in the 2017-2018 season. Under Glenn Gulton. Flames always,
that was brutal.
Yeah, Flames had really good underlying numbers that year. And like it was every single night, if Johnny Gaudreau didn't score like four goals and Sean Monahan didn't score, it was like, oh man, did the Flames ever run into a hot goalie tonight? They outshot them 48-2, and man, just chance after chance after chance after chance. And I think they were definitely a top 10.
Yeah, they ran into a hot goalie again. That was the mantra.
That was the hot goalie year. That was the like, I don't know what the Flames did everything but put the puck in the net thing. And so we do have kind of like a historical precedent for that. And a lot of the same guys are still here. And I mean, let's be honest, this team has had two really good finishers in Monahan and Lindholm over the past 3 years. Obviously, Sean Monahan is not the same player he was. And you can't rely on Lindholm to score 28 goals every single night. Everybody else on this team has had, I mean, Backlund, for example, has never been a particularly great finisher. Dude can't even hit an empty net 90% of the time. One thing I've said about Mangiapane is if he had Lindholm's finishing talent, he'd be like a 40-50 goal scorer. Well, for all the chances Mangiapane generates, finishing has been an issue for him. I mean, you saw that in the Rangers game too. Dude had 11 scoring chances, but he couldn't put the puck in the net. So I'm not like freaking out about it, but it's always going to be in the back of my mind. Like, and this team, that's a pretty simple answer. If I say, hey, does this team have enough scoring talent? Would you say yes? No.
No. So who else is in that pretty top evident. Five? What other teams are in that top five category in terms of expected goals for?
I think the Bruins, okay, I just got it right here. Yeah, Boston's number one, Minnesota number two, Pittsburgh number four, Washington number five, and Calgary's at three.
Okay, outside of Minnesota, you go through that list and you're like, yeah, those guys, those teams don't have trouble scoring goals.
Yeah, and those teams have guys who can put the puck in the back of the net too, right? Like, and I don't, like, I'm not saying that this is a huge issue, but it's like I said a few episodes ago, it's like, this is going to be a bit of a grind season. And we're going to see, I think we're going to see a lot more of the games like we saw last night against San Jose than we are against the Rangers, where it's like, the Flames are going to be a really good 5-on-5 team this year because of how Daryl Sutter has them playing. That being said, there's going to be a lot of nights where they lose games like that because they can't score more than 2 or 3, 1 goals, you know?
Yeah, they're if that's the case, they got to really figure this power play out, because once again, the last two games, the power play kind of let, well, not the last two games, the last game against San Jose, you go 0-for-3. Again, if you score one, it's a different game. It's a different outcome.
Well, and if your big boys outside the top line chip in, I know you and me were kind of chatting about this last night. It's like, hey, Backlund and Coleman only have 4 points each this season.
That's not enough, man. Like, if you're Blake Coleman, this is Bradtree Living's big offseason top six acquisition. It makes $5 million. Get 4 points through how many games?
He's played 11 games, 10 games. He was suspended one game, so.
11 games then. I mean,
right, and played, I, yeah.
Was it a 5-home game stand?
Yeah, 5-game home stand. And both 0 points. Neither, yeah, zeros.
Zeros.
Well, I guess Backlund had a goal at the, like, the very in the Philly game, but
Blake Coleman has 0 points in this 5-game homestand. I mean, look, he's got adorable kids. You see pictures of his kids there at the start of the game, every home game. I'm all for it, but if there's a distraction there, if and I mean anybody who's listening who has kids knows that kids are definitely a challenge. So if he's got two of them at home, he comes home. I don't know if it's interrupting his sleep or routine or what. But if we'll see how he does on the road trip here.
Well, he was much better on the road for sure.
Yeah, he's going to have to figure that shit out. If that is an issue, he's got to figure that shit out.
Well, I mean,
I'm sure his numbers were fine in Tampa, but like you getting paid $5 million in a top six role, you're a professional athlete, you got to figure that out.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like,
you're going to be able to pull off both.
Yeah, he and Backlund are out there in a defensive role. But, I mean, if you're going to be relying on them and you're going to be spending, like, what, they make a combined $10 million, you need them to score more. Because that's how we've seen this team be successful. We talked about it a few episodes. It's like, okay, well, if you can have a top line like you have right now that's easily one of the best in the NHL, like the Gaudreau, Lindholm, Kachuk line has been one of the best in the NHL. They've been fantastic. You know, if you can have that and then have that buttressed by a line below them who's really good 5-on-5 and can score, then you're a dangerous team. But when you reduce that down to one line that can score, like, I mean, Lucic has more points. Gabranson has as many points as Backlund and Coleman. Lucic has more points than those two. Monahan has more points than those two. Dubé has more points than those two. Shillington and Anderson have more points. So it's just at the point where it's like, hey, those guys need to start scoring for this team to win more games.
Yeah. At what point do you tinker with maybe swap is, I don't know. You sit there and say, well, maybe Pitlick's the issue for that line, but
I don't even think Pitlick is the issue on that line. I thought he was the best on that line the last game or two, maybe.
Yeah. And I don't, is this the best utilization of Sean Monahan? If you need goals, just relying on him to chip in the odd power play goal, is that going to be enough? Like, where are you at with Sean Monahan at this point?
I'm feeling a little better, but at the same time.
But I mean, just in the terms of the role, he's, you know, fourth line center.
Well, and I mean, he's out there with, you know, like there was a few plays, Kate, with Monahan last or in the Rangers game, even where it's like his hands were still really slow. Like, he's kind of like rotting away on that fourth line. Like, John, there was a power play chance. I think it was against the Rangers. I can't remember. But Johnny sets him up like in the slot. And it's like he forgot that he was playing with Gaudreau for a minute and that he could actually get a pass like that. And it just like went right through his feet. And I mean, you see him out there with Lewis and Richardson. And it's just like, Man, oh man, like Lewis, like, did you see him like trip over his own 2 feet with the puck right in the slot after Monahan gave him a nice pass against San Jose? Like, holy cow.
Literally, he gets Monahan, feeds him right all alone in front of the net.
Yeah.
And the puck ends up at the blue line.
Somehow. He tripped on his, he like literally face planted. So you kind of feel like, yeah, I feel like Sean Monahan could be giving you more value if he's not playing with, you know, Richardson and Lewis. So I don't know. They're going to need to figure out how to get, how to score more goals.
Yeah. Something to keep an eye on to see how, if it continues to dry out scoring, that is how Daryl Sutter makes adjustments. Or maybe just Brad needs to almost get us some more guys. Hey,
oh, that'd be weird. Hey,
are there any, goal scorers you could almost,
how get? Good did Thomas Hertl look last night?
Fuck. I'm sure he's on his list of guys he'd like to almost get.
Yeah. Like, I mean, and the thing is, too, it's like, it's not like you haven't been getting secondary scoring. Like, for shit's sake, Lucic, did they end up crediting Mangiapane with that goal last night? I saw
two. Yes.
Okay, so let's just for argument's sake, say Lucic has 5 goals. Lucic has 5 goals. You're getting second. You're getting scoring down your lineup. Like, Zadorov scored the other night, you know? So it's just kind of like that second line, or whatever you want to call it, the back end line needs to be producing more offense, and you can't go over 3 on your power play. And I mean, I guess they hit some posts, had some shit luck last night.
Well, that second period, man, they were all over him.
Yeah. And, but like Daryl said, he was talking about how the Sharks don't give you much off the rush and you got to get those garbage goals. And there weren't a lot of guys, you know, willing to do what was necessary to get those goals last night. So, Got to see more from a few guys.
Are we leading the league in terms of fluky goals against?
No, that's got to be the case for the last 200. That's got to be the case for infinity with the Flames.
Eternity, yeah. Go back through eternity.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they've been leading that for eternity.
It's just like, how did that go in? Oh, well.
Like, how often do you see a tip like that? Like that high up, like it's at the top of the circles.
Yeah, and that was a killer too. Because the Flames are playing so well, they were dominating, and then that shit goes in. It's really still frustrating.
You need to be able to score more than one goal, though. All right, to finish.
Oh yeah, against against the whatever the Barracuda, the.
Well, that's through eternity been the kiss of death as well. Playing AHL goalies or AHL teams lineups, you never win. The Flames don't win.
Like, and I mean, I don't want to say they haven't been scoring, because they have been, like, right? You beat the Rangers 6-0.
Yep.
But just the games you've lost, right, have all been one-goal games against teams you probably should have been able to beat because you just didn't, you know, and you owned them 5-on-5, and you just couldn't put the puck in the back of the net. So,
yeah. Okay, round out these stats. I already mentioned first in Corsi 4, third in expected goals, second in goals for percentage.
Yeah, so there you go. Like, right, they're scoring way more goals than they're allowing. I mean, again, Markstrom's had 48 shutouts, so that bumps that up. That helps a lot.
On the PP, they're 10th in the league in expected goals per 60 goals for per 60 minutes. On the PK, they're first. So their special teams, I'm not sure where the numbers sit league-wide in terms of scoring percentage on the PP, but it was fourth, what, like last week before the last two goals. They had, one or two power play goals against the Rangers. So they're probably still hovering around maybe – they're probably in top 10. Hey, they're probably top 10 in both categories, I'd imagine.
Well, maybe I'm just pulling it up right now. Fuck the Oilers power play. The Oilers power play is at like 50% right now.
Oh my god,
dude. Here's the top three power plays in the league. Edmonton number one, St. Louis number two, Dallas number three. The Oilers is at 47%. The Blues is the next best at 33%.
Yeah, that's normal.
Holy shit. The Flames are currently 11th in terms of percentage on the power play and 8th on the penalty kill.
Well, you've mentioned this. Daryl says you got to be top 10 in both.
Yeah.
So I mean, the power play the power play is weird. They've made some changes.
It's been up and down, kind of.
You saw against the Rangers, Monty scores on the power play. That was a sick, sick power play goal. This is what we've been calling for. Lindholm gets it in the corner, rifles it cross ice to Tkachuk. China goes, or Tkachuk goes cross crease to Monty. More cross crease, more cross ice passes. That's how you open everything up. We actually saw some there. Sean Monahan in the one time position.
Crazy.
We're actually seeing a bit of one time options. So we'll see how it folds out. But I don't know. You're pretty impressed with the power play right now, or what?
Well, I don't know. Like I said, I'm up and down because I really like some of the looks they had against the Sharks last night. Like Tkachuk hits that tip right in the slot that goes off the post. They had that extended power play where both units looked really dangerous. I thought Dubé had some really good chances. So I don't know. I think that for all the bitching and moaning we do, it's probably looking the best it has long time.
Even against the Sharks, the first power play I thought was not very good, but the second and third, like you said, generated a shit ton.
Yeah, like I think the only thing they are missing is just more one-time options. Like they're still loving that Johnny De Lindholm on his strong side, which works occasionally. The thing is, like, I don't understand. Like, think again, like that Monahan goal comes off of a behind the net play by Lindholm where he rims it around to Chucky or gets it to Chucky. Like, I don't know why they don't play more behind the net. Like, I'd really like to see that. Like, it just gives such a different look.
Yeah, let's get to the Rangers game. This was fucking fun to watch.
This is the funnest game since like 2018, 2019 heyday. These guys, like the Colorado 6-5 comeback win. Like this was, this got me like, okay, I loved watching this game.
That was definitely the most fun game of the season, for sure, hands down.
I didn't even realize that I hated Adam Fox as much as I did.
I don't know if anybody quite did. Did anybody know we hated him the way we did?
No, because you've always heard me. Yeah, I hate that he can royally give his balls a tug. I've always been on the like, well, that's his right as a player. And then like, no, I hate that guy now. Yeah, totally. What a piece of shit.
So this is a 6-1, 6-0 domination game. I think it's the first intermission. Tkachuk is getting interviewed on the bench. They're asking him, and I know you don't like it.
Well, it's not they. It's Scott Oak with his weird questions.
Scott Oak just straight up in the middle of the game. So what do you think about the rumors about getting traded? And I mean, look, I get your point, but that's what everybody wants to know. Maybe it's not the right time to ask him, but you got him right there. I wanted to hear his response. Didn't you?
I don't know. I just think it's a dumb question. But like you said, like you've been saying, he said exactly what you want to hear if asked that question.
Yeah. So if you didn't listen to it, Chucky says, yeah, I don't pay attention to it.
But you could tell he didn't like the question. That's what I liked.
Yeah. And then he did say that, yeah, something or other. And then, yeah, I mean, they were probably just, you know, trying to up Vegas's ante. Like he knew what was going on. So it's not that he didn't pay attention to it because he knew exactly what the situation was and probably exactly what Buffalo was doing. Mm-hmm. So he knew so much about it for a guy that didn't pay attention to it. Right. So,
Brad filled him in. Apparently they had a talk the night before. So Brad was probably like, this isn't my fault. Definitely not my fault.
We're going to look into it. There is an article from the Hockey Writers headlining Flames management, not happy with Kevin Adams. So we talked about it last podcast. We won't get into it again, but we will make note that Brad Tree Living is not happy. Is he not happy really? Because he did he even lose out? Was he actually really in on it?
No.
No, he's not happy. He's more performative stuff, eh? But Chucky responds to the rumors, the 4.9. How's that?
That guy is not your captain. That's not captain material for you guys. Response to 2 days of trade rumors with a 4.9 and the best individual performance of the season by a Flames player.
No, I just want to be here.
Fuck, he was good. And you know, like Daryl even said it.
He's overrated.
Yeah, he's not worth $9 million. Daryl said, like, because, and this is what we were saying. I don't remember. I think it was on the podcast. Yeah, it was the last episode. Daryl said it straight up. He's like, Tkachuk drives a lot of what that line does. And it's totally true. Like, you know, like Gaudreau and Lindholm have been getting the points, but at the end of the day, they wouldn't be as effective if they didn't have a guy like Matthew Tkachuk playing with them 5-on-5.
referring to the Rangers game where Johnny actually gets two goals, he says Kachuk carry that line tonight.
Yeah, and he totally did.
His 5-on-5 Corsi 4 was 68.42. Yeah, that helps boost the team stats a little bit, hey? His expected goals was 78.12.
That's almost in the 80%. Jeez.
50 is the average, folks.
Well, and like he is, I don't have it in front of me, but I know for a fact in the league he's got some of the best. And I mean, it makes sense because that's the way the Flames have played as a team. But I'm pretty sure he's like top five in the league-wide in terms of expected goals for percentage. Like the dude is just like owning every single time he's on the ice at 5-on-5.
Well, you've been talking about this on Insta. It's him and Johnny.
Yeah, him and Johnny Gaudreau. And my memory is super foggy because that game last night was a bore to watch. I don't think they were on the ice, but last I checked, Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk are the only two players in the league who have not been on the ice for a 5-on-5 goal who have played like a minimum of 100 minutes. Like, it's insane. Like, do you know how crazy that is? For two guys, or especially Gaudreau, it's like, oh, he sucks at defense.
He's in for it now.
He is in for it now. He is not a Daryl Sutter guy.
Well, he's going to hate. He's going to hate playing for Daryl.
This is the end of Johnny Gaudreau. He's going to have a hard ass. It's like, yeah, he's been awesome.
You was that on Instagram you put those up? There's a bunch of of articles just from Flames media back when Daryl got hired. What stood out to you that you can remember?
It's just hilarious because I remember this. We've talked about it probably way more than we should have because I'm just obsessed with owning people who talk out of their ass. But it's like unreal. Like I did a quick little Google search of like Johnny Gaudreau, Daryl Sutter hiring. And there's like 17 different articles talking about how this is going to be the end of Gaudreau and Gaudreau and Sutter won't be able to coexist. And the hard ass with the softie is never going to work. Johnny Gaudreau is he's the furthest thing from a Daryl Sutter player.
Expect him to be traded or ask for a trade.
Like he's going to be gone. He's out of here. Yeah. Okay. He's only having like, you know, how many points does he have? Hasn't been on the ice for a 5-on-5 goal against. Okay.
So it's a 6-1 dominate or six. I don't know why I keep saying 6-1, 6-0 domination. There's a lot, man. There's a lot of juicy things in this game, but I think the juiciest of all is the Adam Fox playing the villain. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what to anticipate. Adam Fox coming to the Dome. Yeah, I've seen it make its rounds on Twitter. Let's boo him. People should boo him. But will people boo him? Do enough people know to boo him? I mean, I feel like this is a Seinfeld bit. How do you know if you need to boo, right? Do you boo? Do you not boo? But, man, if you were at the game, that was loud on the television. You could hear it in the living room. Every single time the guy touches the puck, it seemed to escalate as the game went on. More and more people were catching on. And look, this is one of those things. I think you mentioned this on our live the other day. That would be an example of how, like, to me, I look at it, that's an intelligent fan base, right? How long ago was this?
Well, I was surprised because, again, like, the Dome hasn't been full. I'm not sure if it's like, you know, the usual hardcore fans who are there every night anymore. I was pleasantly surprised that enough people knew to boo the shit out of Adam Fox.
Like if you go to a market in Southern California,
yeah.
Do people even have a clue that Adam Fox, you know, didn't want to play here and there's a backstory to all that?
Exactly.
Probably not. Does he get booed? Probably not. No. Comes to Calgary. Why the fuck was he smiling in his draft picture? That's what I want to know.
Because he knew he was going to get whatever he wanted because he's an entitled little prick.
So the booing of Adam Fox, I can't say that's the highlight. That starts the highlight pack for me. We already talked about Monty's sick goal. Wasn't Adam Fox's goal, wouldn't that have tied it up 1-1? Was that
what yeah, we were it was, at the game? That would have been a 1-1, yeah.
Adam Fox ties up the game for about 30 seconds. Taunts the crowd, celebrates the glass, holds his hand up to his ear, right? Then I don't know who it is on the broadcast. I think it's, is it Cassie or whatever? With it. Oh, this might be coming back. It looks like the Flames might be challenging this for an offside. You look at it. Oh, wow. It is offside. This is definitely coming back.
Another week of the NFL season means another shot to win big at DraftKings Sportsbook. New customers can bet just $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. If you are in Canada or Sportsbook isn't available in your state, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed as they have great daily fantasy sports options. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings daily fantasy sports contests. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. Promo code is THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. You gotta be 21 years or older in New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. There's a minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Fuck, that was sweet to see Adam Fox's face, eh, when they called the no goal.
That was so cathartic and just great. Just like, yeah, that was great.
But then the most cathartic part of it is, okay, now there's a new chant breaking out. Was it Fox, you suck? That's what it was, right?
Fox, you suck, yep.
At first, I couldn't tell if it was fuck you, Fox.
Yeah, I heard a few more crass iterations of the chant, and was confirmed by people who were at the game who told me that was going around a little bit.
Okay. Then I wasn't hearing things, which I also like that chant as well. Fuck you, Fox is also good. Fox, you suck is pretty classic as well. Yeah, that was epic. And then obviously you fast forward to Chucky's goal. We'll get through the rest of them, but Chucky goes tweener during the Fox
you during suck the chant. Fox you suck chant. That's all timer.
Was Fox on the ice?
No, but that would have been bad. Sweet.
That would have been like the triple.
That would have been cherry on top of it. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. What, like for me, that was the most enjoyable part of the entire evening.
Totally. Like, it's something, again, like, we forgot about this over the last, like, I had so much trouble watching games last year in that empty ass, that stupid goddamn Dodge truck and those stupid tarps. Ugh. And the empty shit when the goal horn goes off. It's like, and I mean, even Daryl mentioned it. He's post games like, we need our fans loud. It's just so much better. And it's so good when we actually come out on top of that. Because I remember the last time this happened, you and me were both at the game when Drew Doughty scored in overtime and told everyone to suck his dick. That sucked.
Yeah, that was like, yeah. You, when you're in those situations and you're giving it to the other player, you don't want them to fucking score the game-winning goal.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
It's the worst.
Richardson gets his first. It's a nifty little shot from Shillington. He gets it through, hits the back of the boards behind the net, bounces right in front. Shillington buries, or Richardson buries it. Third goal, Chucky's battling away in front of the net. Pops out to the, you know, to the other end, or the other side of the net. Johnny cleans it up. Then Johnny scores the fourth goal.
That was
big. This is a bit of a soft one from Shesterkin, but Johnny is pretty crafty and tight, and he's shooting backhand. They always say those are hard to read. But there is a nifty little play in the slot, the high slot, between a nifty exchange between Chucky and Johnny before Johnny comes down. That goal was still pretty nice.
That was sweet. And I don't know. I don't know if Johnny got the shot. We know he loves that five hole. I think he was trying to roof it and kind of like flubbed it a bit. That's what it looked like on the replay anyways. But again, you watch Chuck and Gaudreau play together, and when you have the two smartest, most talented guys playing together, stuff like that happens.
Yeah, happen. Luch gets a lucky one, flutters over Shesterkin, and then, fuck, man. I know you don't like the between the
legs. Oh, I like it when he does that. I don't like when he wastes it on the friggin' power play and tries the same thing every time. When he scores like that, I'm fine with it.
That was a similar spot to when he did it against the Sharks.
Yeah, that's right.
did against the Sharks.
If he's going to do it like that, that works. If he's going to try it on the other side on the power play, then screw off, Matt. But, man, that was sweet. That was better than Connor's goal. Fight me.
Okay, we got to get into it because I didn't anticipate this. I don't know who did.
Nobody does. They come out of the woodwork like little fucking cockroaches. It's unbelievable.
It is. We should have known, hey? All I don't know what Instagram was like. It's probably the same, but on Twitter, I think you took that. You cropped that goal. You sent it to me. I put it up, and I said, Chucky with the tweener, goal of the year candidate. Holy fuck, man. 3 days later, I'm still getting retweets from Edmonton fans. Calgary fans are so delusional. This wasn't even close to his McDavid's goal. Not even close. It's like, kid, like, where are you coming from? I didn't mention fucking is the better than McDavid's goal the other night. Apparently that's to be assumed from saying goal of the year candidate. Hey?
Flames play really good game. No, it's not even close to what the Oilers did. You see them?
Right. Flames, like, they win one, like, what, 4-2, but Oilers win 5-0. Oh, Flames had a good game tonight. No, they didn't!
This is why the Oilers and I think Leafs fans throw them in there. See, Canucks fans and Flames fans, at least we share something in common, is like when we hate ourselves as much. It's like we hate our own team and ourselves as much as we hate other teams do. Like when we lose, it's just like existential crisis. Why do we suck? Yeah. When it's like the Oilers, maybe this is in the Leafs line. I don't know, but the Oilers specifically, it's like they are so delusional. It's insane. When they lose, it's like, well, Daryl saw it's cheat. Someone cheated, or it's just like you can't even celebrate. You're like, I would never go to an Edmonton. Like, what's an Oilers podcast? Don't even know. I would never go to an Edmonton Oilers podcast Twitter, find that they've been tweeting about McDavid's goals. Like, no, it's not even close to what Matthew Tkachuk did. You piece of shit. Fuck you.
Dude, you sound like Bubbles there, man. That's good.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Literally, all you know, you're just at the game. You're walking. It's like going, like, say you're going home on the C train. Hey, man, that was a sick goal by Tkachuk, eh?
No!
All of a sudden, some fucking guy, like, you know, sitting down behind you. No, it wasn't! What are you talking about? That goal wasn't even close to as good as McDavid's.
Like, where did you come from? He's like, sweatpant wearing freak.
They have to compare everything to McDavid, I guess, eh?
Oh my God.
That's the summation that I came to, is that they're so insecure about how bad their team really is without McDavid that they have to compare everything to what McDavid does. That's their comparison in order to make feel good about themselves. Then this is the inevitability of, if there's ever an argument, a long-standing argument with an Oilers fan on social media or anywhere else,
it usually takes about two back and forth to get it. It doesn't go that far.
And you know where we're going with this. Five cups. Hey, Justin, C Red Central. He posted this today, so props to him. It's a meme. It says, how does an Edmonton Oilers fan change a light bulb? The answer is they don't. They just talk about how good the old one was.
Dude, I swear to God, like, we joke around about, like, the big Oilers boys club circle jerk, but I swear to God, like, I turn on the TV to watch the Oilers game because I have a bunch of Oilers in my fantasy team, and it's like,
oh my God, it's like ridiculous, dude.
It's like 8:59. The game was supposed to start at 7:30, and it's like Craig McTavish and some other guy on a panel, and Kevin Lowe's number is being retired. Wasn't his number already retired? Like, it was probably like a 78-hour ceremony. It's like,
it's probably the third time they've retired it.
How? I guess I missed when they retired it. Like, Jesus Christ. Oh, my Lord.
And then if you, first of all, what's the pun guy's name?
The who?
The pun guy.
Oh, Principe? Holy
Principe.
Shit.
Principe. Dude, if you go from a Flames broadcast.
Oh, my Lord.
You got Kenny Rudy looking good. He's looking sharp. You got Rick Ball, whatever.
Leslie.
You know, the worst looking guy you have on there is Eric Francis with a stupid face. And then you go, you Then the Oilers game comes on next. It's like Gene Principe. This guy looks like fucking Krusty the Clown. I like the one game I watch, there's Gene Principe down there at the ice level holding like a birthday cake.
Yeah, what the shit?
And it's like, dude, what are you doing? Why does your hair look like that? You look like a fucking clown, bro.
He's literally crusty. Oh my god.
But dude, their broadcast is, you're right, it is complete.
Man, like going from the Flames, like again, I've always said this, we're super lucky to have Rick and Kelly. Man, they have a jolly good time, those two guys, but at least they're pro. Sure, like Kelly is like, they're always hamming it up. And Ryan's a pro. And again, like you have to put up the occasional Francis BS. That's nothing. You go to that Oilers game, and it's like that new announcer they got. Who is that guy?
I'm like, dude, I don't know.
And then Principe, it's just like, it's going from like a pro broadcast to like a, not even like a junior hockey team, like a high school. Oh god, it's bad.
Yeah, it's bizarre, dude. It's just bizarre to watch.
Yeah.
It kind of, but I will say, remember when what, you know, the intermission panel where they would be four of them sitting in a chair and there's Roger Millions? Remember the day they wore jeans and cowboy hat? Oh man,
dude, his ass is so big. I remember the day they saw that. We found out Roger Millions had a huge ass. It was a revelation.
Oh boy, that was funny. All right, so anyways, yeah, man, I don't know where they come from, but man, they seek you out. Like, have you personally? Well, I guess I've done this with Brett Chesley, but not intentionally. Okay, the reason why I brought up Brett Chesley again is because somebody liked the tweet that we responded to Brett Chesley, the guy that was bashing Andrew Mangiapane.
He's a Winnipeg Jets fan.
The only reason why I resurfaced him was because someone liked it and I saw it and I totally had forgotten about him. That's why I guess I did seek him out, but
okay, it's one.
This is different, right? This is like seeking him out for no, not even a revenge. It's just like,
no reason.
No! Chuck scored a great goal tonight.
No,
he sure didn't. Anyways, fuck, that wasn't his goal, like David. I'll admit it.
He's like possessed by a demon, I think. Like, that's the only logical explanation, like, for why he's so ugly and red, too. Like, did you see that? He just like turned it and he was like, I'm gonna score. Fuck this. And just like,
yeah,
it was insane. It's true.
You know what? You're absolutely right about both, but when he's hovering above the blue line, you can see it. Man, this guy must process the game so fast, right? It's just like, I don't like talking about him, but so every once in a while, I give him some props.
Like, I've literally never seen a hockey player who could do that. You know,
he literally processes. He's like, yeah, four guys. It's like, remember Sherlock Holmes with
Benedict Cumberbatch?
No, the Iron Man.
Oh. Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr. with Jude Law. Do you remember that? Where he's like, he's so smart. He's like, they have all these little equations, and he's fighting, like, yeah, mathematically pinpoints all the spots he needs to hit him and shit like that. That's like David when he plays hockey, dude.
It's, yeah, it's wild. Like, again, like, it's such a different skill set than like guys who are just like really good at hockey, like Sid and Ovi and stuff. It's just like, It's wild that he can just like physically, mentally do shit like that. It's just insane.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Even his goal, I think it was last night, just the speed he comes down the ice at and his ability to take the shot and not only take it, but snipe it.
Yeah.
The ability to get into the position to take the shot, take the perfect shot. It's a little ridiculous, but that play, you can pinpoint the moment when he's like, yeah, I'm going to try and beat all four of these guys.
I know, it's just nuts.
And then he goes and does it. And you're just like, geez, man. I think that was the nicest goal that McDavid ever scored.
Oh, so totally. Yes,
we know it was better. You losers. You don't have to come and just fucking, no, it wasn't a good goal. Did you see McDavid's? He's going to compare it to McDavid.
Like, yeah, I missed McDavid's. I've only showed it 8 billion friggin' times.
Yeah, I'm only going to see it another million times. You know what? It was a good comeback, though. Chucky is in the top five, number six? He's in the top 10. Chucky ranks higher for top goals of all time.
Oh, totally. He has more top goals. Totally. Yeah. That sounds about right.
And his top goal of all time, the tweener in Nashville, ranks higher than anyone McDavid's, as far as I remember. So
suck on that.
Suck it. Suck on it and enjoy it. It's funny they asked Markstrom about it after the game, eh? You hear that? Markstrom's like, yeah, he doesn't practice all the time. Never works.
Never works. And I was like, yes, thank you, Jacob, for pointing it out.
One thing I wanted to ask you about this, though, this game, because this was a little bit of a, you know, hot ticket for me, was early in the game, Reeves asks Lucic to fight.
Yeah, we were both kind of annoyed.
Lucic declines. The game is starting to, you know, the Flames are running away with it. And then Reeves comes down and eliminates Andrew Mangiapane, one of your best players.
Eliminates Andrew Mangiapane's head.
It's a headshot. Principal point. Did he even get suspended?
No, it's absurd.
Of course not, eh? But anyways,
fuck.
Why doesn't Lucci fight him after that? Should he have?
I think he should have.
There was like 12 minutes left. There's lots of hockey left.
I just don't get why he doesn't. Like, what's the downside at that point?
Because some people are arguing, yeah, well, it's the game's over. Let the refs do it. Like, there's no point now. The game's out of hand.
No.
But I don't agree. It's like Sutter has already said they want to be a statement team. One of the things they want to be a statement of is protecting the front of the net. Don't you just be like, no, you're not going to fuck around with anybody. I don't know. I would have liked to see him fight.
I would have liked to see him fight because that, again, like if he hadn't asked him 10 times before.
Well, that's the other thing.
If it wasn't on the docket and then then he does that and it's like, okay, bitch, you want to go? Okay, I'm going to kill you. Like, come on, Luch. Like that's part of the reason. Again, he's been scoring and he's been fine, but it's part of the reason you're on the team.
The last thing I wanted to mention about the whole Oilers and McDavid comparison. Did you hear Daryl when I think it was during the media asking him about Iginla?
For 4 hours? Was it the one where he had that hat on?
Yeah. But Daryl, you know, he's going on and he's like, well, who's the best player in the league? And one of the media guys like 87? He's like, yep. Mm-hmm. So no. According to Daryl, who also poo-pooed McDavid's goal. McDavid is not the best player in the league, and that goal was a 1-on-1, not a 1-on-4.
Well, how do you not love Daryl? Like, they're asking about the goal, and he's like, eh, he'd be one guy.
Oh, what a fucking
song. Everybody else they interview is just like jerking McDavid off, like, wow, like we just did, and was like, wow, have you ever seen it? Daryl's like, eh, I've seen him do that before.
It was a one-on-one. I love how Daryl handles the media. Like if the because this is what media does, right? They have an opinion. You've brought this point up. They have an opinion, and then they ask Daryl about their opinion instead of just asking Daryl's opinion. They ask Daryl about their opinion.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
And he literally shuts you down before you even finish your question.
Yeah, there was a question the other day about like. Are coaches kind of stuck in their way with trying to keep lines together?
No, it's the opposite.
He's really like, no, exact opposite.
Next.
So true. I don't understand. You've got one of the best hockey minds. You've got all kinds of questions you could pick his brain on, and you're going to like try to bake your dumb opinion into a question for him. I don't get these media people.
If you don't want to get shut down by Daryl, stop projecting your opinions onto him. Ask him his opinion. All right, game score for the Rangers. You outshoot them 37-22. You get a power play goal, 1-for-3. They're 0-for-3. 58 shot attempts to their 59, 32 scoring chances to their 20.
Oh, man, Mangiapane had 11 by himself, so.
That's 11 high danger to their 9, 65% of the goal for share to their 35. Whew. Yeah, that was a fun game. Anything else you want to
I thought Markstrom actually was like really he made some really big saves in the game. There was a few glove saves.
While it was 1-0 still, he was excellent.
Like the Flames shut it down pretty good after that. but when the game was tight, he made a few huge saves. So, and again, like Kachar, the top line was great, but I thought Mangiapane was fantastic as well. He, like, dude had 11 scoring chances. It's nuts.
It was good to see Monty get another one. What would he say? What would Monahan have to say about that goal?
Well, yeah, it starts tonight, and yeah, it starts tonight, and it's just well, good team play, and then yeah, it's just well, it starts tonight. Well, it actually, starts tomorrow night because the game's over. But yeah,
he says, yeah, I mean, eh?
I know, yeah. I got my Sean Monahan down. I every time I listen to it, I'm like, my impression is so good.
Yeah, I mean, starts tonight.
Yeah,
yeah.
He was doing a presser with Rasmus the other day. I don't know what he's got that starts tonight. What was he talking about? They weren't even playing that night.
Yeah, they're like, you're gonna get something with a road trip, upcoming road trip. So yeah, I mean, it starts tonight. The road trip starts tonight.
Like, no, Sean, you're leaving in like 4 days, dude.
All right, let's do the San Jose game real quick. Like you said, it was a boring game. I
was kind of checked out, to be perfectly honest.
I was live for the first, and then something came up. I wasn't able to watch the second, which was the best. I had to go back and watch it, but I saw the second half of the third. They didn't look very good in the third, man.
Well,
I'm just tired of playing at home now. It's pretty quiet that night, eh?
It was a game where they dominated, but like, I know everyone's like, oh, hot goalie. Like, I don't know. I didn't see the Flames generating a ton. Like, they had a few chances on the power play, like a few really dangerous power plays, but I wouldn't
they were burying last night.
Yeah. They weren't burying, and I wouldn't chalk it up to like a hot goalie or like, oh man, they really deserve to win that one. They had the puck a lot, but they didn't, like Daryl was saying, it was like, they didn't really bear down a lot of stuff. They weren't getting to the hard areas. And it was just kind of like a game that they kind of played okay and didn't do enough to win.
Yeah, they let that one slip away.
Yeah, totally. That's a winnable game that you just, like, if you really bear down and get a few more chance, like they did, the push in the third wasn't what it needed to be at all.
Yeah. You know, there's specific games, and you know this if you played enough hockey, where sometimes it's just going in, sometimes it's not. And when it's not, you have to will your way. You can't just rely on oh yeah, it's going to go in eventually. Mm-hmm. And even Daryl was saying that, right? He's like, if it's games like that, San Jose's not allowing a lot off the rush. They don't give you much, and they have to. He's like, he even said, you got to score goals like the one we did, right? Just banging and crashing. You got to get greasy.
Yeah, you didn't see enough of that, right? You didn't see enough second, third chances.
No, they were just kind of relying, and maybe this is the message that Daryl. I mean, he talked about it afterwards, so I'm sure he talked about it with the players. But maybe that's the message. It's just like, not every game's the same. And some games you have to grease it out. This is why Tampa's so good, right? We talked about this. Like, they can play any style.
They can play any way. Yeah.
Any which way. They can do it. So the Flames have to learn that. They got to be able to grease them out, dude.
Yeah.
We haven't really seen them grease any games out.
Yeah. I think that comes back to what we started this show off with like, they've kind of lost every game they've lost has kind of been in the same fashion outside of that Oilers game, where it's like they're winnable games, one goal games, tight games. And I mean, it ends up being 4-1 last night, but for all intents and purposes, that's a one goal game.
That's a 2-1 game.
And it's kind of, that's been the recurring theme in games they've lost. So
yeah, they need to, this is where you, now Daryl Sutter's created enough of a baseline that it's time to start teaching them this now. Is this is where they got to get mentally tough, right? Mm-hmm. You got to recognize that, okay, you know what? We're out chancing them 29. We got 29 to 20 scoring chances, 54 to 45 shot attempts, 38 shots to their 26. You're beating them in the game. You have 60% of the expected goals for their 40. But it's not going in. They're not going in. You got to get mentally tough, and you have to will. You have to will one in. Just start with one, right? So well, like, I think he knows that, mm-hmm, based on what he's saying after the game. I'd like to see this team get a little more mentally tough in these close games. I don't want to see you keep losing the same fashion where you should win, but you don't.
Yeah, and I mean, like, again, that's kind of where my complaint about, like, Coleman and Backlund came up last night. Like, the Sharks best players were better than the Flames' best players last night. And I mean, the Sharks don't have a lot of best players anymore. But Brett Burns was really good. Hurdle was really good. I think, did Couture get that goal? Can't remember.
Yeah,
but yeah, like in a game like that, I like to see, you know, a couple huge giant shifts from two-time Stanley Cup champion Blake Coleman, you know? That's what he's there for.
We talked about it. I don't know. We'll see how he plays on the road. If he,
like, again, he's been fine, but at some point we need some points from that. You need points from your second line, regardless of if they're there to play defensive hockey and play shutdown hockey. You still need those guys scoring. Like, they can't be having less points. They can't have equal amount of points as Gabranson.
Yeah. It's funny though. Sometimes though, that's the nature of sports. That's the nature of hockey. Sometimes that game happens and you just have to just get over it. It's funny. Kent Wilson, he totally called it. I don't know if you saw that. I don't know if I sent it to you, but he's doing his in-game kind of tracking, right? And then it was like somewhere in the second intermission, I think, where he's like, you know, this is one of those games. Hopefully there's no lucky bounce goal that, you know, is the difference. And then Couture scores.
I posted in the intermission, I think second intermission, the deserved a win-a-meter was like 86% Calgary. And I was like, please don't lose this in overtime. And then they lost in regulation. So
I will say this though, how nice is it to play all the teams again?
Oh my God. If we never play Winnipeg again, it'll be too soon, man.
Remember how stoked everyone was? Like, oh yeah, the Canadian division's gonna be sweet.
Ugh, but
I don't think anybody ever wants to do that ever again.
Never again. I hate Winnipeg. I don't want to watch Ottawa. No, none of that shit. Barf.
Okay, so a couple of newsworthy things. I guess it's just one thing. Mangiapane is he's not on the official.
He's on the long list.
Okay, he's on the list for the Olympic team. He's probably not gonna it would take some injuries, right? Or some
not going to make it. Like, have you met these hockey executives? Like, he's probably one of the best. Like, I wrote an article for the Hockey Writers about him just when the news kind of first came out. And like, some of the stats are mind boggling. I don't know if we mentioned them, but if you look at, okay, like, because what is Mangiapane's game? He's a really good 5-on-5 player. So if you break it down by 5-on-5 goals over the past two seasons, there's only two Canadian-born players who have more 5-on-5 goals than Andrew Mangiapane, and it's Brad Marchand and it's Connor McDavid. That's wild.
That is wild, dude.
So to say he doesn't, I think he totally deserves to be on this list.
Kudos to him. It's funny because when he got asked about it, one of his quotes was, oh, wow, they're actually looking at me. Wow, I can see him saying that.
Oh, yeah. Right. They're like looking at me and it's like, right.
Man, that was awesome to see him on After Hours and see his mom and his dad. That was awesome.
Such a good dude.
Okay. So next up, it's a 7-game road trip. Hey, yeah. Ooh. 7 games. So you got.
I'm looking forward to it. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing those white unis. I'm looking forward for some Daryl Sutter road trip action, baby.
Yeah. Agreed. The white unis are so sexy. Like we talked about previous podcast, Daryl Sutter hockey on the road is just like Coleman. It seems to be better on the road. So here's your sched. You got Montreal, Toronto, back-to-back. I don't even want to say Montreal's a winnable game. I don't care. I just want to see them keep doing what they're doing. I want to see Sutter continue to drive this bus. Sutter is driving this bus. You got Ottawa in there, Philadelphia in there, Buffalo in there, Islanders and Boston in there. And the Islanders and Boston is another back-to-back. This is tough, dude. This is going to be a tough schedule. Man. You have games on every other night, and you have two back-to-backs.
And you got some tough teams. Toronto, Boston, 11, Islanders. Oof.
11 nights, dude. You have 7 games in 11 nights.
That's wild.
That's almost criminal.
And you know how hard that is? Like, if you're hot, like, to be traveling and playing that much, that's so hard. Did people forget how hard hockey, how tiring hockey is? Jeez. That's going to be rough.
That's going to be so rough. When they get back, they get one night off and they play Chicago. Then they have three nights off. This is a tough schedule. Holy shit.
Yeah, November's going to be tough.
All right, so we'll see you guys on the other side of the first back-to-back. Okay, we'll probably have a recording a Saturday to pump that out. But let's wrap things up. What are your thoughts on the first 12 games of the season, Michael?
Well, I mean, you can't be not happy, right? Like, I know I've done plenty of whining about the scoring and about, like, yeah, they've still lost five games. But how can you be anything less than happy with how they're playing? Right? Like, they're playing very good every single night. That's all you want to see. That's all I ask. Yeah. Is just play good and let me enjoy watching the game. That's it.
Man, there are some moments right now when you're watching the game, you're like, holy fuck, this is enjoyable to watch.
Right? Like that 6-0 game was a delight to watch. How many games last year were a delight to watch? Zero. One, not even like 1 minute was fun to watch last year.
No.
So all I ask for is just a good game to watch and that you win more than you lose. It's a pretty low bar. So I'm very happy with some minor quibbles.
Yeah, I would say that I'm in the same sentiment. I'm so confident that Daryl will be able, because typically in the past, if it's Peters, if it's Gallaudet, if it's Ward, if the team goes on a bit of a run, then you start to worry.
Yeah, you're like, when's they're going to slip now?
Yeah, you start to expect it. And then it happens. I don't feel that same way with Daryl. I know that this guy is seasoned enough. He's got these guys so dialed in. There will be no dip. Like, they're not just going to fall off. They're going to have their struggles and stuff that they got to figure out. One of them we just talked about, the mentally tough games where they got to will their way. They got some tough opponents coming up. It'll be a good little test to see how they do in the next 7 games, in the next 11 nights. From a fan's perspective, I don't mind it. Lots of hockey coming up.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.